Okay, Chaver. Parshas Mishpatim has 118 psukim. Again, like we said, there's many, many mitzvos. Very technical. The question the Ramban wants us to think about is, you know, we just came out of Yisrael. We came out of the Aseres Adibros. And now, all of a sudden, Ve'ela Mishpatim. Right, these are the Mishpatim. So why Dafka Mishpatim? Meaning, there's a lot of Torah to learn. Right? We have the rest of the... of the rest of the Torah to still learn after the Aseres Adibros. So why start in this way, Ve'ela Mishpatim? Okay, so let's see. Ve'ela, Tam Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnayim. These are the laws that you shall present before them. What does that mean, by the way? These are the laws that you shall present before them. What does that mean? Okay, so Rashi has a number of interpretations. Lifnayim Ve'lo Lifnay Ovdei Kochavim. If you ever get into a business dispute, you should go to Beis Din, you shouldn't go to a non-Jewish court. Right? Or a person might say, Rashi says, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Lo Salal Daitecha, Lomer Eshna Lahem, HaPerek V'Halacha, Beis Ogim Opamim, Ad Shetei Sedura B'Fiyem, Kimishnasa. Hashem says, Moshe, don't think you're going to teach it one time or two times or maybe three times, right? And then all of a sudden they're going to have it clear. Maybe I'll tell them all the laws and like they'll figure it out. So Hashem says, no, Moshe, Eila Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem. You have to place it before them. Kishulchan Ha'aruch Umuchan Lecho Lifnei Adam. Rashi says you have to set the table for them. These are hard halachos. Right? When you're teaching someone something, you have to go slow and you have to explain it clearly and you have to work it out. Right, afkiinu. What does the word even mean? Called the mekadesh adait the rabbanu mekadesh. How does that work? Right, no. We had a gemara in Gittin. We had a gemara in Ksuvis. We had a gemara in Yevamis. We had a gemara in Babasra. Okay, you gotta go slow. Okay, that's all Rashi. Says the Ramban. Tam ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. What does it mean? These are the mishpatim that should be placed before them. Ki rotza lahakdim lehem hamishpatim. Hashem wanted to begin with Mishpatim. In other words, again, there's Mishpatim, there's these types of mitzvos, halachos, as found in this parsha, but there's many other things. Meaning Hashem, after the Aseres Adibros, could have gone straight to Karbanos, if he wanted. Hashem could have gone into, I don't know, the Jewish holidays. Why did Hashem start with Mishpatim after the Aseres Adibros? Ki kasher haya ba Aseres Adibros, hadibur harishon b'yediyas Hashem. The first thing that Hashem said is what? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you should know me. V'hasheini be'isra avodah zara. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands what? The prohibition of avodah zara. So Chazer v'tziva es Moshe. So Hashem then clarified that somewhat in last week's parasha. Ko somara b'nei Yisrael atem re'isem ki min ha-shamayim dibarti imachem. Hashem said, Moshe, go... keep telling B'nai Yisrael, remember, you heard this? You heard this straight from God? Hashem told you himself, you got to believe in me. You got to not worship Avodah Zarah. Shetazhirim ata od sheyitnu libam lamashiro. Hashem says, Moshe, go over it with them again. I want them to remember, internalize what they saw at Har Sinai. Right? Warn them again about what their own eyes saw. V'yizharu b'mitzvos ha'elu shetzivisim. And Moshe, reinforce it. I want you to reinforce what they heard at Har Sinai. It's not just enough to hear it once from Hashem, I am Hashem your God, don't do avodah zarah. Moshe is told at the end of last week's parasha, chazer it over with them. Keep on working, work on it. Go over it again with them. Ki atem ra'isem. Moshe, when you say to them, your eyes have seen keneged divar anochi. You saw Hashem speak. Lo sa'asun iti, not to have any other God, that's a chizek keneged lo yielacha. Lahashlim inyan avodah zarah. Okay, so what's Mishpatim now? So Hashem introduced at Har Sinai, Aseres Adibros, then Hashem told Moshe, go over it again with them, deepen it. So what's Ve'ela Mishpatim a continuation of? So it says the Ramban, it really picks up where the Aseres Adibros ended off. Ve'ela Mishpatim keneged lo sachmor. Interesting. The 10th and final of the Aseres Adibros is what? Not to be envious, not to be jealous, not to desire something that belongs to someone else. And so much of the fighting and the injuries and the, you know, the machlokas and the troubles that emerge in this week's parsha, in monetary disputes, And the like is rooted in what? Is wanting something that doesn't belong to you. Lo sachmor, being envious of something that's not yours. Kim lo yeda adam mishvat habayis o asadeh ushar hamamon. Because if I don't know the rules of the home, if I don't know the rules of the field, if I don't know the rules of business relationships, if I don't know Parshas Mishpatim, yachshov shehu shelo. So I might look at someone else's possessions, or someone else's family, or someone else's this or that, and say, I want that. And God forbid I'll desire it and take it for myself when it doesn't belong to me. So Mishpatim is also the same way that, again, in last week's Parsha, Hashem reinforced certain things by saying to Moshe, make sure you continue to remind Bnei Yisrael what they saw, remind them about the exclusive relationship that we have, Anochi, Lo Yalecha. So too, Lo Sachmud. Teach the Jewish people what's theirs is theirs, what's not theirs is not theirs. And if they're not sure, go to Basin. Figure it out. Lefichach amar tasim lifneim mishpatim yisharim yanhigu osam b'neim. Therefore the Pasuk says, tasim lifneim, put it before them. Teach them how to what? Mishpatim yisharim. Teach them proper rules by which they'll be able to live among each other. And you shouldn't desire that which is not yours. By the way, as the Ramchal writes in the Mesilas Yesharim, jealousy is one of the. Already the Rishonim say it. Jealousy is one of the most foolish and stupid things for us to fall, to succumb to. It doesn't work. It doesn't change anything. The fact that I want what you have, that doesn't make it mine. So what do? All I do is I harbor these bad feelings that I want that. Stay in your lane. Know what's yours. Hashem gives you what's yours. Right? So all of these mishpatim, again, are creating a framework of society for you to know what's yours and to not desire that which is not yours. Hashem gives you exactly what you're supposed to have. You're not going to beat the system. You're not going to outsmart Hashem. You're not going to gain anything by being jealous of your friend. It's just not going to, it doesn't help. Right? Ibn Ezra gives a mashal. Ibn Ezra says being jealous of something that's not yours is as absurd as, a commoner having dreams of marrying the princess. Okay, in Aladdin it works out, but most of the time it doesn't work out. You know what I mean? She's not in his league. So something that belongs to your friend, you have to think of as totally not in my league. It's totally not shaykh. It's totally not shaykh. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not going to get a shit up with the king's daughter if I'm a commoner. It's just not happening. So too, use that reminder. But I could have got the job, right? And I went out with that girl before my friend went out with her, and I'm a better guy than he is. It's not shaykh to you. It has nothing to do with you. What's yours is yours. What's not yours is not yours. Yes, Zachary Yitzchak.
Wouldn't it be better to have the mindset that maybe instead of saying this is not for me, maybe saying whatever I have is the best?
For sure. Ezehu ashira sameach b'chalko. Appreciate what you do have. For sure. No, that's obviously the more positive way to do it. Absolutely. But when you find yourself, drifting, so learn Parshas Mishpatim. Remind yourself that there's very precise dinim of what's yours and what's not yours. And use that to come back to a place of, right, appreciating what you have. And then he quotes a beautiful line from the Medrash. Look what he writes. V'chein amu b'medrash rabba is a very beautiful line. The Medrash says, Kol ha-Torah kula tluya b'mishpat. We have to make a functional society. All of the Torah depends upon mishpat. V'chein nasan ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu dinin acher aser ha-sadibros. In other words, it's as if Hashem is saying, right, first things first, I am Hashem your God, don't have any other gods, etc., the Aseres HaDibros. But then Hashem says, but by the way, in a certain sense, if you can't create a functional society, so then none of those other things which are so important to me are going to have expression in the world. Kol HaTorah Kula Tluya B'Mishpat. The whole Torah is dependent upon Mishpat. Right? Do I know how to, again, do I know how to interact with others? The world is made up of others. Yeah? What did I read once? I once read a quote. I don't remember the exact nusach of the quote, but something like, it would be wise for a person to remember that with one trifling exception, the world is made up of others. In other words, as much as you live with yourself and you feel like I'm the center of the universe, and on a certain level, b'shvili nivra ha'olam,
Right? But the bottom line is, with one trifling exception, in other words, with other than me, the world is entirely others. There's a lot more others than there's me. That's the point. So okay, so I have to learn how to deal with that. If I don't know how to deal with that, then I'm not gonna, be able to anything. And again, so think of Parshas Mishpatim as sort of the giving strength to all of the Aseres HaDibros. Right? And that's how he ends this next line. V'chein yufarish be'el ha-mishpatim ha-mishpat b'avod zara u'v'kivad av v'ritzicha v'haneyuf ha-nizkarim b'Aseres HaDibros. It reviews all the principles of the Aseres HaDibros. It talks about avod zara. It talks about how to interact with one's parents, honoring one's parents, not striking one's parents, God forbid, as it speaks of in our Parsha. Right? It talks about people, God forbid, who commit murder or adultery. So it's all reinforcing, it's clarifying, right? It's doubling down on what we learned in the Aseres HaDibros. Okay? I guess on that notion, just for a second, let's jump to Chav Gimel Chav Dalet, just because it's thematically related. Okay? Perech Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet, just a short piece. Perech Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet. Whoever's got the page, call it out. Perichav Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Dalid. Page Shin Yud Dalid. Lo Sishtachava, the Pasuk says, Lo Sishtachava le'elohehem, v'lo sa'avdeim, v'lo sa'asek ma'aseyem. Don't bow to their gods, don't serve their gods, don't do their practices. It's describing, right, the foreign nations that live in Eretz Yisrael on our way. And the Ramban finally, you know, calls a timeout and he says, how many times do you have to talk about avodah zarah in the Torah? I mean, Torah is prime real estate. Every word in the Torah is important. And very often, if we have, you know, a zachar and a shamur, so we think about it. It's not the same thing. Zachar Shabbos and shamur Shabbos are two different things. Right? But when it comes to avodah zarah, it seems like Hashem is just like obsessing over it. He's talking about it all the time. So am I supposed to read every pasuk and try to discover the nuance in it? Yes, probably. But the Ramban says there's another message in all the repetition of avodah zarah. The Ramban writes, and it's a good rule to know. It's a very good rule to know. I'll give you another example in a second. HaTorah tazhir al avodah zarah b'kama makomos. The Torah talks about avodah zarah in so many places. Va'af al pi shamikros miutarin ba. And even though it seems excessive at times, right? Now again, of course, the Ramban believes that every letter of Torah reveals another dimension. He's not denying that. But on a pshat level, it's a lot. Like, why do you have to talk about it so much? Ein lahakpid bekach. Ramban says, don't be so makpid on it. Think about it for a second, just on a very simple level. Why does Hashem talk about avodah zarah so much? Shemipnei chomer shaba. Because it's so serious. And if something's important to you, you talk about it a lot. You review it over and over again. Right? There's certain things that parents tell their children over and over again because they're trying to instill with them, this is really important. This is really important. I need you to hear this more than once. I want you to internalize this. The Chafetz Chaim writes, how many times does Hashem speak about Shabbos in the Torah? Chafetz Chaim says 12 times. So based on this Ramban, we understand why. Is it that each time Hashem mentions Shabbos, something new is being taught? Probably. But on a more simple level, Hashem is saying, because Shabbos Kodesh is the backbone of our Emunah. So I'm going to talk about it a lot. It's really, right? It's just an interesting idea to say it in Hashem's voice, that Hashem is saying, this is really important to me. Everything's important to Hashem. Every halacha, every pasuk is important to Hashem. Right? But avodah zarah is so fundamental that Hashem says, don't ask why am I talking about this so much. I'm talking about it because it's important to me. Shekola moda ba kofer b'chola Torah kula. Because a person who makes space for avodah zarah, who believes in it, denies the entirety of the Torah. You can't have me and avodah zarah, Hashem says. And therefore, tazir v'tachzor v'tazir, again and again and again. Ka'omer la'avdo, like a person who says to his servant, zachor tamid v'lo tishkacha ikar hagadol. Like a person who says to a servant, please remember and don't forget this fundamental principle. This thing that I've commanded you because everything depends on it. I have to mention it to you again. I have to remind you because if you mess this up, it messes up everything. So Hashem also is very passionate about certain things. Again, obviously Hashem is passionate about every word of Torah. But it's interesting that the Ramban would you know, introduce such an idea that sometimes we have to just look at the Torah in a very simple way, that Hashem is talking to us in a real way. And if Hashem is repeating something, and you're wondering, why is He emphasizing this so many times? Because Hashem cares deeply about it and wants us to care deeply about it. Yeah. I guess because, if I truly believe in the absolute oneness of Hashem, right? So then I feel a sense of responsibility to what? To be mavatal myself to everything that He commands. Once I start making room for Hashem plus, so then I can then everything becomes somewhat negotiable. Right, you're saying it should be in its own category. Again, in some ways it is, right? A person who is Ovid Avodah Zarah is treated differently than a person who commits an act of adultery or someone who commits murder. They're both very serious crimes, and in a certain way they're packaged as the big three. But in a certain way, Avodah Zarah is the biggest of all. That's where it all begins. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim. Okay? Okay, so let's go back now. All right, let's turn back to Chaf Aleph Beis. Let's roll it back to Chaf Aleph Beis. Back to the beginning of the parsha. Okay, so now we know Elam Mishpatim is sort of a furthering of the Aseres HaDibros. It's telling us that you need to have a functional society to know what's yours in order to be able to appreciate your own life, to move ahead. The whole Torah is dependent upon Dinim of Mishpat. Okay, but where does it actually begin? So the second pasuk in our parsha, Ki Sikna Evet Ivri. If a person buys an Ivri servant. Okay, why does it start there? Why start by telling me the halachos of an Evet Ivri? Right? Okay, so it becomes somewhat evident, but let's just read the whole pasuk first. Ki sikna Evet Ivri, if you acquire an Evet Ivri, sheish shanim ya'avod, he'll serve you for 6 years, uvashviyas yetzei lechavshi chinam, and in the seventh year, he goes free. Okay, says the Ramban, somewhat obvious to us, but it's an important point. Hischil ha-mishpat ha-rishon be-evet ivri, b'pnei shi-yesh b'shiluach ha-evet b'shana ha-shviyas zecher li-yetzias mitzrayim ha-nizkar b'dibur ha-rishon. Why start by telling me the halachos of an eved? Because the sending away of the eved in the seventh year, in some way, takes us back, zecher li-yetzias mitzrayim, which is the first thing that Hashem wants us to know. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoytzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. So Hashem says, I want you to run your life the same way that I run my life, so to speak. K'mo Shamar V'Zacharta Ki Eved Ha'isa Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Remember that you were a slave in Mitzrayim. V'Yiftecha Hashem Elokecha, and Hashem saved you. Al Kein Anochi Mitzavcha Sadavar Hazeh Hayom. So you need to have a sensitivity towards your Zavadim the same way that I had a sensitivity to you when you were an Eved. Okay? So it's not just, you know, you should know this because of your life experience. But again, the same way that Hashem introduced Himself at Har Sinai by saying, listen, I took you out of slavery, right? So Hashem says, I want you to also start by thinking about that and trying to be like me in that way. Furthermore, so it takes us back to that defining moment of Jewish history. Furthermore, V'yesh ba'od zecher l'masa bereshis. When you think about the halachos of an Eved Ivri, why did Hashem make it that for 6 years he serves you and in the seventh year he goes free? Again, also, it's a throwback to creation of the world. 6 and 7, right? Just like there's a Shabbos. Zecher l'masa bereshis k'Shabbos, just like we have a Shabbos at the end of every week. Ki ashana ha-shviyas la-eved shabbason mimelechas adonov kayom ha-shvi. Just like Hashem rested on the seventh day, so too the Eved works for 6 years and goes free in the seventh year. Is why Dafka 7 years? Why not 4 years? Why not 12 years? Again, because it reminds us how Hashem created the world and how Hashem operates, and we want to think about that and we want to be like that. V'yesh ba'od shvi b'shanim shu hayovel. Furthermore, it tells us about the cycle of 7 cycles of Shemitah, in the sense that if the Eved, right, if the Eved wants to stay on, then he serves you until Yovel. Ki Ashvi Nivchar Bayamim Uveshanim Uveshmito. 7 is always, the Medrash says, is always desirable in the eyes of Hashem. Any type of 7, whether it's the 7th day of the week, or the 7th year, or seven cycles of seven. Hashem is into the number seven. That's what the Medrash says. And that is part of the Sod Yamos Ha'olam Yibreishis. It's part of the secret of creation. And therefore, anything that, again, the Torah can emphasize that centers us around Yetzias Mitzrayim and creation of the world, those are all things that strengthen a person's emunah. Okay, so it makes sense that we start with the halacha of an eved free. But let's go one step further. Okay, because the sensitivity that a Jew has to have to the eved, right, is something that Hashem is very stark about in this parsha. And in particular, the importance of being sensitive to people who are in pain. Okay, let's jump ahead to Chaf Beis Chaf. I know it's a big jump. Perech Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf. Perech Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf. Okay. Yeah. It's probably better to go back to your room to bench, unless you're still eating here. Okay. Yeshur Koyach. You're a good man. You're a good man. That's loyal. He's mevatel himself to Hashem. It's annoying what he has to do now. No? But it's heilig. It's heilig. That's a real bittul to Hashem. No, that's real. That's really living a life of avodas Hashem. That's. If you're still drinking, you started drinking there and you continue drinking here, we'll talk about that. Oh, no, yeah. I don't think that's going to work. You shouldn't really be moving around with a drink. A drink, if the Shinoi Makom should really demand a new bracha. If you started drinking one place and now you want to drink in a different place, it doesn't really work like that with a drink. Even for a Celsius, yeah. Even for a coffee, yeah. You should finish in one place and restart in another place.
Even if it's like you drink half in your room, say like
if you drank half in your room, you should save renafashos. And then when you come here and you want to continue drinking, it's a new location, it's a new bracha. Yeah.
It's not like food on the go. Like you're buying this banana and knowing you're going to eat it on the shoe, for example.
Depends what on the go means. First of all, it's not great for a person to be walking around eating. I told you that story, no? When I got a musr from the Philadelphia Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, because in high school I was walking one time eating a bagel, and he stopped me and he said, you know, the Gemara says a person shouldn't walk around while he's eating, it's like you're like a dog. So I once read in another sefer that someone asked the big Rav, he said, okay, so that's for eating. It's what Chazal say. It's not kavodik to walk around eating. It's not a Jewish thing to walk around eating, you know, eating a sandwich. So someone asked the Rav once, what about walking in the street and drinking? He said, you're not like a dog, you're more like a puppy. He said, thought that was a good answer. Yes?
So what about a
kiddush
or a
shmorg? What about a kiddush or a shmorg? It's nicer to sit down. It's nicer to sit down. At least to stand in one place. Have some type of kvius. It's not refined to walk around. We'll see. Actually, we're going to learn a Ramban now about the importance of sensitivity in eating. But a Jew doesn't walk around eating. It's not a Jewish thing. Yeah?
First, the yeshiva every year, they bring us the parking of the sports and this barbecue. And, like, there's not that much place to sit down, but, like, whatever. So everyone starts by standing and starts eating, or beer comes around and yells at everybody.
Sits everyone down. Yeah, be a mensch. Only cows eat standing. Sounds like a bad. That's an important point. So again, these are little things, but they're things that bring out the sensitivity of the Jewish people. It's an important thing. It's a very important thing. Okay, so chaver pasuk chaf perachav beis pasuk chaf. Pasuk says v'ger lo sone v'lo tilchatzenu ki geirim ha'isim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Don't ger lo sonet. Don't taunt a ger. Don't torture a ger. It's very easy, you know, to give a ger a difficult time. Right? Rashi says it's onaz dvarim, verbal abuse. You poke fun of someone who's different than you. Right? Don't taunt him. Right? Lo tilchatzenu. Don't persecute him. Remember, ki ger ma'isim baretz Mitzrayim. You aren't always so. You know, you talk to someone who's not quite as religious as you, and you talk down to that. You aren't always so from. Right? You talk to someone who's going through a difficult time. You had your difficulties. Would you like it if someone said that about you? Mamish yesterday, someone called me in tears. It was so sad. Someone said such a terrible thing. Someone was going through a difficulty, and he said to a friend, he's like, oh, well, you know, you have a messed up family, so maybe, like, you, I don't know, like, but he said it, like, in such a, you know, like, a harsh way. And who talks to a person like that? Right? Remember where you came from, you know? I hold stark to this rule. I get very upset when I see, like, you know, a Rebbe talking down to Talmidim. And I was like, come on. You went to high school once upon a time also. You aren't such a tzaddik yisod olam, you know what I mean? So you have to look at life and get such an important yisod, right? Look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, Ki ger ma'isim baretz Mitzrayim. You were also once a ger in Mitzrayim. Uperish Rashi, ki atam lelo sonu oso, yaz hir shelo sona oso bonaz dvar. Right? So first and foremost, Rashi says, well, no, it's more of a general statement, right? That what? Not to verbally assault anyone, really. Shim ho niso afhu yachul ho nascha velomer lecha. Because if you assault him, right, if you talk to him, so he's going to talk back to you. Velomer lecha afata migerim basa. He's going to say back to you, you're also a ger. Right? And Hashem says, come on. Then everyone's just throwing insults. Everyone's pointing fingers at his friend's, you know, shortcoming. We don't want a society that likes that. Mum shebecha al tomer lecha vercha. The Gemara says, the mum that you have, don't point out to your friend. Don't say, oh, you're like this. They'll say, yeah, so are you. So Hashem doesn't want that type of language, that type of communication. Okay, fine. Rabbi Avram Amar, and Ibn Ezra says, Zachor ki gerim hayisim kamo, remember that you are a ger, like him as well. But says the Ramban, ve'in b'chol zeh tam b'ikar. But this is not the main thing that I think the Torah is trying to emphasize here. What is the Torah trying to emphasize here? V'anachon be'enai kiyomar. The main thing the Torah is saying is the following. Right? It's not, yes, it's about the sensitive way that we speak, right? But let's read the next two psukim. What happens right after? Don't taunt a ger, don't persecute a ger. Remember you were a ger in Mitzrayim, right? Pasuk of Aleph says you shouldn't afflict a widow or an orphan. Pasuk of Beis, because if you mess with them, Hashem says what? I'm going to hear their cries. So says the Ramban, I want to focus on that. Says the Ramban, V'nachon be'enai, ki yomar lo sone ger, v'lo silchatsenu, v'sachshu she'ein lo matzil miyodcha. Don't think for a second that what? That this guy, he's easy to pick on, he's an easy target, you know why? Because there's no one who's going to save him. He doesn't have a good chevra. He doesn't have someone looking out for him. Right? He's an easy target to pick on, to persecute, because there's no one who's going to save him from your hand. You have the upper hand over him. Don't think that. Ki ata yadata sheyisim gerim baretz Mitzrayim. Because we were in a situation where we had no advocates. No one was standing up for us. We were a downtrodden people. Ve'ra'isi asalachas asher Mitzrayim lochsim atzchem. Remember the incredible pressure and persecution that you yourself experienced in Mitzrayim. V'asisi b'hem nekama. And Hashem says, because I'm always keeping score, I take revenge. In other words, don't, God forbid, think that you can take advantage of someone who's weaker than you, because, well, this guy can't stand up to me. Hashem says, but I can. Don't you remember I stood up to the Mitzrayim? No one was on your team. And you cried out, and I came to the rescue. Because Hashem says, you know what my role in the world is on a certain level? Ki ani roe dimas ha'ashukim. Hashem says, because I pay attention to the tears of every oppressed person. Asher ein lehem menachem. Where no one else is offering them comfort, no one else stands up for them. Hashem says, I stand up for them. Umiyad oshkeyem koyach. Right? And from the ones who oppress them, I respond with great strength. Va'ani matil kol adam miyad chazak mimenu. And I save any person who is, you know, Hashem says, I like underdogs. I root for the guy who's downtrodden. V'chein ha'almana v'hayasom. Right? Like it says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The widow, the orphan. Again, they're easy targets. They're easily taken advantage of. Lo sa'anu. Do not afflict them ki esh matzak asam. Because Hashem says, I hear their cries. Shekol eila einam botchim benafsham. Because they don't have the self-confidence to protect themselves. V'ala yivtichu. But upon me they can rely. They don't have anyone else to rely upon. but I'm listening, Hashem says. Uva pasuk ha'acher hosif tam, and the next pasuk explains va'atem yadatem. Right? Remember, it says a little bit later on. As a nefesh ager, understand the emotional, you know, situation of the ger. Ki gerim ha'isim beretz Mitzrayim. Klomar yadatem ki kol ger nafsho shvala alav. Realize that a ger, because he's going through such difficulty, he's often in a very downtrodden place. He's in a broken place. But Hashem says, but there's nothing that I respond to more quickly than a broken heart. A genuinely broken heart. V'hu ne'anach, he's going to sigh, he's going to krechs, he's going to cry out. V'tzoik, he's going to scream to me. V'ein of tomid el Hashem, and he walks around saying, there's no one to save me but God. And Hashem says, wow, that's a very deep tefillah, because it's true. V'yirachim alav kasher richem aleichem. And Hashem says, I'm going to respond to him exactly the way I responded to you. Remember, you were a ger in Mitzrayim. It's not just like Rashi saying, or Ibn Ezra saying, don't poke fun at him because you went through that also. Remember how you got out of Mitzrayim. You were totally a downtrodden people who no one stood by their side. But I came in, and I took care of the oppressors. So realize, if you're going to become a bully, Hashem says, I'm going to jump in. Like it says in the beginning of Shemos, we cried out from the hard work. And our voices went up to Hashem because of the oppression. You don't have to have merits. Hashem says, when I look at the almana, the yasom, when I look at the ger, when I look at the person who needs my help and he's suffering, I don't look if he's a tzaddik or not. I just see a person in pain, not in the merit of their schus, rak shurichim aleim in avoda. Hashem says, the same way I saved you in Mitzrayim, you were in a low place in Mitzrayim, but you were in terrible pain, and you cried out, and you turned to me. And when you cry out to Hashem, in an honest way, with deep pain, Hashem responds, period. Hashem says, I'm the defender of those who are oppressed in the world. Okay? Just turn the page to Pasuk Chav Beis. Yeah, he continues this theme. Let's just go one step further. Pasuk Chav Beis, just go to... Right, the second paragraph, v'hanachon be'enai. You see it? Yeah, v'hanachon be'enai. Ki yomar, imane sa'ane oso. Right, again, what did it say in Pasuk Chav Beis? If you're going to afflict him, if he cries out to me, Hashem says, I'm going to come to the rescue. So, what it means is, imane sa'ane oso, if you're going to afflict him, rak tzo'ok yitz'ak elai bovad, and he just cries out to me, miyad, eshma tzak oso. Hashem says, immediately I hear his cries. And Hashem says, I don't need any other case. I don't need him to present anything, his own worthiness, nothing. If a person turns solely to me from a place of pain, Hashem says, I'm there for you. Because I will save him and I will take retribution against the one who oppresses him. Hashem says, and the reason is because a person sometimes oppresses someone dafka because he feels that no one can save this person. He has no Moshiach. He has no one to defend him. V'inehu nezar yoser mikol adam. And this person is more, you know, lost. He has no support from anyone. Kishar ha'nashim yitruchu acharei Moshiach shioshiyam v'acharei ozrim linkom nikmasam. Right? Because most people, at least, they have someone who they can turn to for help when they're in trouble. But Hashem says, Dafka, the guy who has no one to be an ozer to him, no one to support him, no one to help him. V'ulai lo yo'ilu v'atzel lo yatzilu, and he feels that maybe there's no one to save me at all. And therefore he cries out to Hashem, v'zeh b'tzakoso bilvad nosha Hashem v'yinokim imcha. So when this guy just cries out alone, that's it. Hashem says, I'm by his side. Kinokeim Hashem uval chema. Because Hashem says, because this burns me up, Hashem says. And therefore the Ramban goes on and he says, with just his tza'aka bilvad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the rescue to save this person. So again, number one, it's a reminder to those of us when we find ourselves in, you know, a position of authority, when we have the upper hand, to be so careful not to take advantage of someone who doesn't have that upper hand. Right? But also from the position of the one who's oppressed, when we cry out to Hashem, when I feel that there's no one else to rely upon, maybe I do have someone to rely upon. Maybe I have good parents. Maybe I have good friends. Maybe I have a good therapist. Maybe I have a doctor who's able to treat my illness. But when I call out to Hashem from a place of no one can save me but you, Ein lanu melech ela ata, that automatically moves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is very quick to respond to a person who turns to Hashem in desperation. It's a very lofty level of tefillah. Yeah.
It seems like it's kind of like I have a thing that like this person who has the upper hand is like, God saying that like, okay, you think that that guy might be an easy target, you think they have no ally.
No, you think nothing can stop me.
You're an idiot. Like, there's obviously he has an ally. The ally is me, and I'm going to come and save the day.
Correct. Correct. Hashem is the ultimate defender, the ultimate ally. And again, Dafka the person, the irony is Dafka the person who feels he has no one, right, is the one who is the most able to access that support of Hashem. The person who says, you know, I have a few different strategies how I'm going to handle the situation. Hashem says, okay, so you do.
Yeah, especially the guy.
But the guy said nothing.
And then so now he realizes that I'm the one who's helping him. The guy thinks no one can help him. I'm going to come in and...
That's right. Yeah, no.
I'm a little bit like thrown off by this because I always assume based on Kedoshim to you that we're supposed to follow in Hashem's footsteps, that like Hashem follows all the mitzvos, obviously, but the more I think about it, right, we talked about revenge here, and also Hashem Hashem can technically murder someone. I don't know if you want to call it that,
right?
But I don't know if that's obvious.
A Beis Din can also murder someone. Right? We also have a system of punishment for those who are the bad guys. Right? Again, we have to keep a sense of right and wrong. That we have to be able to acknowledge that this person is bad and deserves to be treated as such. Nekama means that if my friend wronged me in a way that's outside of halacha, so I shouldn't take the law into my own hands and take revenge. That's a lack of faith, because that means I feel that the only way that this guy is going to learn his lesson is if I create my own, you know, retribution system. Hashem says, you don't have a right to do that. But the laws that I gave you, right? And Hashem, obviously, his overarching ability to implement justice when someone's been wronged, that's always available to him. Right? Within us, we have to stay within our framework. So don't take revenge. And don't bear a grudge. Right? Be bigger than that. That's also part of the midos of Hashem. How many times does Hashem let us get away with something because... He's, you know, he tries to be understanding. So maybe when your friend wronged you, be a little understanding, be a little forgiving. Don't always respond, me the connected me, I'm going to get him back the way he got me. Hashem lets a lot of our avaros slide. We get away with a lot of stuff. Right? So also, be forgiving, be forgoing. I think that's the pshat. Okay? But on that phrase that you mentioned, Kedoshim Tiyu. So let's turn... To Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Lamed, the Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. However, what's today's calendar date? Hebrew calendar date. Today is Chav Gimel Shvat. Yesterday was the yahrzeit of who? The Kotzker Rebbe. The Halakha. Yeah, the Rebbe Tanos. Yeah. Today's your birthday.
Yeah.
Wow, Mazel. Happy birthday. Yeah, Gav Gav Brachos right after Ramban Shir. Okay, line up Chav after Ramban Shir for Brachos from Moshe Elimelech. Okay, so the Kotzker used to have a pshat. I just want to mention quickly on this pasuk, Va'anche Kodesh Tiyun Li. The Kotzker Rebbe saw this pasuk as really being almost the fundamental pasuk of Kol HaTorah Kula, because Va'anche Kodesh Tiyun Li means what? You should be Anche Kodesh, a holy people to me. Anche Kodesh Tiyun Li. The Kotzker said, you should be men of holiness. Parah pasuk lamed. Parah chaf beis pasuk lamed. You should be people of holiness. So the Kotzker Rebbe used to say, Menschlich Heilig. Human and holy. What does that mean? That's what the Pasuk says. But what was the Kotzker Rebbe emphasizing? There's some people who think, maybe I should try to be an angel. Hashem says, I don't want you to be an angel. Oh, you want me to be a person? So then I'll just be like a regular person. Oh, don't be a regular person. Hashem says, no, I need you to understand with a little bit of nuance. I want you to be Anche Kodesh. Menschlich Heilig. You have to be human. You have to be a person who acknowledges the fact that I'm flesh and blood. And all that comes with that. At the same time, that doesn't mean that it's a contradiction to my Kedusha. It really goes back to the shir we learned yesterday, right? I could be a human being, but I have to believe that my actions are meaningful, that they're purposeful. That they can accomplish great things in the world. Okay? So Anche Kodesh Tiyun Li. Yes, you have to be a person. And what's the end of this pasuk? Uvasar besada trefa lo sochelu lakelev tashlicha noso. Therefore, you shouldn't eat any flesh of an animal torn in the field. an animal that was that wasn't properly shechted, but it's a kosher animal. Why can't I eat it? The animal died without a proper shechita. Why can't I eat that? It's a kosher animal. Throw it to the dogs. Why? This is good food. Hold on a second. Hashem says because there's a way that a Jew eats, right? There's a way that a Jew drinks. There's a way that a Jew engages in physicality. Yes, of course, you're a human being. But I want you to do it in a way that's holy. Says the Ramban, Tam HaKosav HaZeh. The explanation of this pasuk, Ki Adheina Hizkir HaMishpatim B'Hizkir MiYadvar HaMichuarim. Until now, we've been describing rules, again, societal rules that are sensible, that make sense. And we've mentioned Dvar HaMichuarim. We've mentioned what things that are, should be obviously repulsive. A child who strikes a parent, a person who abuses a ger, right? These things, any decent person should be disgusted by these things. Right? It's almost embarrassing that Hashem has to tell us, don't sleep with an animal. That's one of the psukim that we skipped over. Hashem says, these are the obvious things, says Ramban. Now Hashem says, Va'anche kodesh tiunli, let's talk about things of greater sensitivity. Right? Things that you'll say, well, what's wrong with that? Right? It's obvious why you shouldn't punch your parents. It's obviously why you shouldn't, you know, take advantage of, you shouldn't take advantage of a basula, like the pasuk says. It's obvious why you shouldn't sleep with an animal. It's obvious why you shouldn't do a avodah zarah. It's obvious why you shouldn't take advantage of the downtrodden. But now, v'ata k'shabo l'haskhu b'isar ha-machal. But now when we're going to talk about further sensitivity, and even the way that a Jew eats, right? That a Jew doesn't walk in the street eating a bagel. That's the vart. Pasach v'amar v'anche kodesh tiyun li. I need you to be more than just a human being, Hashem says. I need you to be a holy human being. Sh'roihu sh'yochal adam kol ma sh'yichya bo. Because it would be natural for a person to say, I should be allowed to eat anything that my body demands. Hashem, you give me a physical body. Anything, any type of food that sustains my body should be permitted to me. V'ein ha'isurin ba'macholim rak tara b'nefesh. Sh'tochal dvarim nikiyim. Shelo yolidu avei v'gasos ha'nefesh. But the reason that Hashem says, it's not like that. The reason that we can't just eat anything that sustains our body is because what? Is because there's a certain taras ha'nefesh. And there's a certain hashba that the way that a person eats and the food that a person eats and the things that a person eats has on a person. When a person eats dvarim nikiyim, in the words of the Ramban, clean things, pure things, and again, we may not understand, right? Is a pig not pure? A pig's not kosher because it rolls around in the mud. That's why it's not clean. And there's other animals that are allowed to eat that do also get dirty. I mean, what does it mean, clean? Right? What does that mean, clean? But Hashem reveals to us there's certain foods that are more refined. Shelo yolidu avi v'gasos benefesh. That it doesn't create a certain what? Av means thick. Right? A certain grossness. Right? A gasos hanefesh. You shouldn't become dulled. Your senses shouldn't be dulled. Certain food dulls a person's senses. The way that a Torah expects a person to eat, and how a person eats, what a person eats, there's a certain refinement to even the things that Hashem allows. Al-kein amar va'anche kodesh tiyun li. So therefore Hashem says, I want you to what? I want you to be holy people. Klomar. Ani chafetz shetiyu anche kodesh, bavur shetiyu ru'uyim li. Why do I need you to be a holy people? Because I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be davuk to me. Lidavka bi, sha'ani kadosh. Hashem says, I get it, you're a person. I didn't say be an angel. Like the Katzker Rebbe said, anche kodesh. You could be a human being. But you're a human being who has to cling to what? To Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lefichach, lo tiga'alu nafshoseichem ba'achilas dvarim ha'misu'avim. So therefore, don't make your soul repulsive by eating things that are what? That are abominable, things that are unrefined. Right? And the Ramban concludes the piece by saying, "V'kach amar al tishaksu es nafshoseichem b'chol asheretz ashoretz." Don't eat bugs. Don't eat things that creep and crawl on the ground. They're naturally repulsive. I programmed you that you should be grossed out by that. You should. V'lo titamu b'hem v'nitmeisem b'am ki ani Hashem Elokecha v'skadishtem v'isem kadoshem ki kadosh ani. Hashem says again. Later in Chumash Vayikra, when it talks more about kashrus, Hashem says, there's certain things that should be naturally repulsive to you, and there's other things which are, yes, I'm asking a little more of you. I want you to be a little bit more refined. To eat bugs, it's repulsive to the soul. Va'treifa, But a kosher animal that didn't have shechita, let's say died, you know, a different way, ein bashikut, it's not disgusting. It's the same hamburger that you're going to eat. Aval yesh b'shmira mimenu kedusha. But by being more sensitive, by being more guarded, that adds kedusha. That takes it up a notch. It's not the most disgusting thing in the world. In fact, in a slightly different context, I allow it, Hashem says. But I want you to develop a certain type of holy sensitivity. And that only comes about by what? It only comes about by raising one's standards. Okay? So Hashem is very much aware that we're humans. Anche. Anche. Bakodesh. But be holy. Okay, Chavar, two final Rambans. Chaf Gimel Chaf Hei. Jump ahead a little bit. This is a really beautiful one. You got to know this one. Chaf Gimel Chaf Hei. Serve Hashem. Harachav Gimel Pasach Chaf Hei. Don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. Again, we already learned that Ramban. Hashem doubles down again and again on Avodah Zarah because it's so bad for us. And then Hashem says an interesting pasuk. Va'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. When you serve Hashem, your God, uveirach es lachmecha ve'esmeimecha. And Hashem will bless your food and your drink. Serve Hashem, and Hashem will bless your food and your drink. What does that mean? Vasiroisi machla mikirbecha, and I'll remove illness from your midst. What does that mean? Don't do avodah zarah, serve Hashem, and I'll bring bracha to your food and your drink. What does that mean? And you won't get sick. What does that mean? Says the Ramban, beautiful words. Kavanas ha-kosuv hazeh, ba'avur sherov ovdei avodah zarah yakiru v'yedu, ki Hashem ha-nichbad hu Elohei ha-Elohim v'adonei adonim. Most idol worshippers believe that there's a highest power called Hashem. They believe that there's a God of all gods, lowercase g, that there's a master of all masters. They believe that there's some ultimate power. Let's call it what we call Hashem. But they also believe that there's other, you know, pathways for me to access things that I want. They believe that what? That there's something above all the Avodah Zarah. Ve'ein kavanasim b'Avodah Zarah. And the purpose of the Avodah Zarah is what? Rach sheyachshavu ki avodah sahem tiyah lehem atzlacha. That certain types of practices brings a certain type of success. Right? So for example, in our parsha it talks about, you know, milk and meat. Just the order of the psukim in our parsha is very strange sometimes. Right? It talks about not cooking a kid in its mother's milk. Right? And like it's interspersed with all these other like halachos. And you're trying to figure out, how do I put this parsha together? What's like the order? What's the order of events in our parsha? Right? It talks about bikurim, and then it talks about not cooking a kid in its mother's milk. Well, those are shaychas. So part of the explanation is that in the ancient world, there was a thought, bikurim, my first fruits. They used to have a weird avodah zarah practice where you cook a kid in its mother's milk, and then you pour that over the field, and it causes your produce to sprout. So the Torah says, no, bikurim, you bring your first fruits to me, Hashem says, and don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. Don't do these weird avodah zarah practices. Some of these avodah zarah practices were with a belief that it brings a certain hatzlacha. It was a segula. Do like this or do like that, and you'll have success. It's not that we don't believe in God. It's that what? That it's sometimes hard to, you know, get an appointment with God, so I'll turn to the sun or the moon or the stars or my little idol to get the things that I want. I'll serve the sun because the sun matters to my grain. I'll serve the moon because the waters and the depths are somehow connected to the, you know, to the sun, to the moon, right? The high tide somehow connected to the moon. Somehow the water is connected to the moon. The crops are connected to the positioning of the sun. So I worship the stars above and the planets. I worship all of the heavenly rotations because it brings a certain success to a person. And I'll serve different angelic powers above because it helps me to have greater success. After all, it kind of makes a lot of sense about Azara. Who am I to talk directly to God? So I'll use an intermediary. I'll talk to an angel. I'll talk to the sun, the moon, and the stars. comes along the pasuk and Hashem says, don't do that. Hashem says, you want food and drink? You're not feeling well? You have a headache? You don't want illness? Come and talk to me. You don't need to sit in the confession booth with the priest. You don't need to use an intermediary. You don't need to find some other type of segula, some other type of technique, some other type of witchcraft to have success. You don't need any of that. Look at these words. Chavar, underline these next words. Val kein yomer akosav azeh. Our pasuk comes to tell us, ki ba'avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bilvad tiyeh lahem ha'atzlacha v'ashmira. Period. The service of Hashem is all that you need for success and for protection. V'akiras avodah zarah lo tazik. And giving up your avodah zarah. Giving up all the other techniques that you think are going to lead to success. And by the way, avodah zarah is what? Is calling the company that you had to interview too many times. It's too much ishtadlus. Right? That becomes an avodah zarah. That I'm trying to control the situation. That's a form of avodah zarah. Daven more. Lean into Hashem. Hishtadlus, no problem. Anshe Kodesh, you want to be a human being? No problem. Hashem says, you can be a human being. But once you start trying all these other techniques to bring success, Hashem says, trust me, you're not going to lose out by relying on me. By uprooting your avodah zarah, lo tazik. You're not going to endure any damage because of that. Rather, the opposite. Aval toisif lachem bracha, tova ubracha. The more you lean into Hashem, the more tova, the more goodness, the more bracha you bring upon yourself. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yavarech lachmecha. What does it mean Hashem will bless your bread? Bread is a code word for what? For everything. V'hu klal lechol maichal asher yochal. It doesn't just mean your bread. It means the food that you eat, right? The home that you live in, the car that you drive. All of it is called lachmecha, your parnasa. V'yavarech meimecha. And Hashem will bless your drink. What does that mean? Shu'av l'kol mashka shayishta. Again, it's a general statement, not just your water. But it means anything you drink, anything you eat, right? The clothing you wear, the house that you live in, the job opportunities that you're given, all of it comes through Hashem. V'abracha hi tosefes b'hen. And all the bracha will be increased through what? Through relying on Hashem. Shia mehen l'chol l'rov mod. And you'll have incredible success. And that's why the pasuk continues what? I'll remove your illness. Hashem says, don't you think that the food that you eat has a hashpah on your body? I'll make sure that when you buy chicken in the supermarket, you don't accidentally get one that has salmonella poisoning or something weird like that. Vasiroisi machla mikirbecha. Hashem says, rely on me and I'll watch over you. Klomar sha'asir behem machla mikirbecha. I'll remove any illness from among you. Shiyu ha'machalim v'hamashkim tovim. Your food will be healthy and good. Your drinks will be refined. Uvriyim, right? It'll make your body strong and healthy. Lo yolidu machla. Aval yerafu mimena. You'll be protected from it. You'll be healed from it. Right? And the psukim go on. No woman will have a miscarriage. There won't be childlessness. V'chulu v'chulu. Again, the more you turn to Hashem, that's the solution to all of your problems. Okay? And that's why Hashem says so many times, stop with the Avodah Zarah. Stop with the Avodah Zarah. It's so usher because Hashem loves us so much. He wants to be able to give us all the bracha in the world. Stop trying all these back channels. Talk to me, Hashem says. Come straight to the source and I'll take care of you. Okay. Chaver, last but not least. Perech of Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the very end of the Parsha. All of a sudden, and again, it's a little bit of a shaila. How does this work? It sounds like we're back at our Sinai all of a sudden. Nasa v'nishma. Okay. Perech of Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Pesukim say that Moshe and Aaron and Nadav and Avihu and the 70 elders, they went up the mountain. Pasuk Yud says they saw Hashem, whatever that means, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. And an even more cryptic end to that Pasuk, V'tachas raglav, and beneath Hashem's feet, they saw kamase livnas hasapir, they saw a block of sapphire, like Hashem had a footstool, u'ke'etzam v'shamayim l'tar, and like the appearance of heavens in clarity. Very mysterious pasuk. So how did they respond? When they had this very lofty, revelation at Har Sinai. Ve'el atzile b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, Hashem did not harm the nobles, V'yechazu es Elokim, because they perceived Hashem, v'yochlu v'yishtu. Okay? What does Rashi say? Hashem says that after Kabbalah Satorah, you know what they did? They got a little too comfortable with Hashem. This is Rashi. You'll see the Ramban totally disagrees with what I'm about to tell you. But listen to Rashi. Again, It says Moshe and Aaron and Nadab and Avihu and the 70 elders, they ascended to their positions on the mountain. They saw some very incredible vision of Hashem. And Hashem didn't harm them, even though they saw Hashem and they ate and drank. Rashi says they should have been harmed. Why? Because they ate and drank. How dare you eat and drink? How dare you eat and drink? Rashi says, "Vayachzu es Elokim, hayu mistaklin bo belev gas mitoch achila ushasiya." They're like, "Oh yeah, we saw Hashem at our steam." They got a little too comfortable with Hashem. I'm happy that everyone's comfortable here. You bring your breakfast. Everyone eats their, you know, their lunch. You guys eat like 25 meals a day. It's great, right? But if we had a guest, and Afra Shachter came to give a shir, I would hope it's not like you'll eat your pizza a different time. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't be so hamish with Afra Shachter. Don't be so hamish with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving shir, and you're sitting there, and you're like, "Oh, who brought the popcorn? What are you doing?" So Hashem had rachmanas in them. Hashem didn't harm them, even though they saw Hashem while they ate and drank. That's how Rashi reads the pasuk. They got a little too comfortable. Just because you're close with Hashem, don't get too, you know, Hashem is still Hashem. Don't get too comfortable. Hashem loves us. Avinu Shvashamayim. All true, but there still should be a buffer zone between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Rashi. Says Ramban, no, you're totally misreading the pasuk. You know why they ate and drank? Why did they eat and drink after Har Sinai? Because when a person celebrates Torah, we make a party. We make a siyum. Again, it's part of Anshei Kodesh, right? Part of showing that Torah is a thing of this world is that what? Is that, you know, you make a siyum and you have a barbecue. My son and I, Yaakov, we finished learning Mishnayah Shabbos. We learned Mesechah Shabbos, Mishnayah Shabbos. Yaakov loves hot dogs. So last night we had a big barbecue. You know, a little family suda. Mommy bought ices for dessert. We had a good time. It's very nice, right? So it's a good thing. That's a good thing, says the Ramban. The paragraph, Vitam V'yishtu. Have you see it? Paragraph of Dalet, Pasuk Yod Aleph, Vitam V'yishtu. What page? Shin. Okay, Shin Yod Tes at the bottom. Vitam V'yishtu. Says the Ramban, it's a good thing. She'asu Simcha V'yom Tov. Right? What do you do when you make a siyam? It's a funny thing. I have to celebrate with food. I have to bring snacks. Yeah, you should bring snacks. So also simcha v'yom tov. They made a big simcha v'yom tov. Ki kein chova lismoach v'kabalas haTorah. Because at the end of the day, you're still a human being. So part of the way you celebrate Torah is the way a human being would celebrate. Yeah, you serve some good food. That's not a zilzal. That's not a disrespecting of the Torah. This is the source. Parshas Mishpatim is the source. For what? For making a celebration upon finishing an accomplishment in learning. Kasher tziva b'chsavam kol divrei Torah al avanim v'zavachta shlamim v'chalta sham v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Right? Like we find when they wrote down the Torah, what do they do afterwards? They brought karbanos, but particularly the karbanos that what? They were able to eat from. And so too, uchsiv b'shlomo ha'chachma v'amada nosun lach. Shlomo HaMelech was given all of the wisdom of the Torah. What does it say right after that? Miyad vayavo Yerushalayim v'yas mishta l'chol levadav. He made a big party. Celebrate Torah in this world. Show that Torah is a thing of this world. Va'omer Rabbi Lazar mikan she'osin mishta l'gamra shel Torah. From here we learn, says Rabbi Lazar in the Medrash, from here we learn that you should make a big party to celebrate Torah. A siyam hashas, there should be a sudas mitzvah, of course. Siyam mesechta, you finish a mesechta. It's a huge accomplishment. Celebrate it with what? With gashmias. V'namar b'David Aviv, b'isnadvam l'vinyan Beis HaMikdash. Right? As they're building the Beis HaMikdash, putting together, again, a spiritual accomplishment, v'yizbuchu l'Hashem zvachim, v'yalu olos l'Hashem. Yes, we bring karbanos to Hashem. But also, v'yochlu v'yishtu l'fnei Hashem, b'yom ahu, b'simcha gedola. Like it says in Divrei Yamim. V'af kan b'yom chasunas haTorah kein asu. So too on the day of the wedding, the celebration of the Torah, right? Of course, they had a big su'uda. So let me just end with something that Rav Shechter likes to say. And Rav Nevensol, Shlita, in his Sefer on Shuas also has it. There's a Gemara in Meseches Pesachim, Daf Samaches. The Gemara says that Mar Bered Ravina would fast every day of the year with the exception of 3 days. What were the 3 days that Mar Bered Ravina would eat? He would eat on Purim, he would eat on Shavuos, and he would eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So Rav Shechter and Nevensol, I think they both say the same yesod, which is what? Why did he dafka eat on those 3 days? So you'll say, well, Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Right? You'll say, Purim, there's a mitzvah, Derabbanan, of having a Suda. Rav Shachter and Levinson will say, no, no, no. What's the common denominator between those three things? Each one is a day of Kabbalah Satara. Shavuos, we got the Torah. Purim, Kimu V'Kiblu, right? A reacceptance of the Torah. Yom Kippur was the day that what? We got Luchos Shnios. Moshe came down with the second Luchos. Obviously, we can't eat on Yom Kippur, so what do? So we celebrate it by eating, right, before. So the Gemara, the secret of that Gemara, why did Mar, the son of Ravina, fast every day of the year with the exception of Yom Kippur, Shavuos, and Purim? Because when a Jew receives Torah, he has to celebrate. And you can't just celebrate like an angel. You have to celebrate like a person. Yeah, you have to put out some good food, right? To show that I understand that the Torah affects my physicality, affects my real life, right? On Shavuos, the Gemara says, "Ba'inan lachem," you need to eat on Shavuos. By other Yom Tovim, you know, you could decide kula lachem, kula lachem, chati lachem, chati lachem. The Gemara says on Shavuos, everyone holds you have to eat. Why? Because that was the day we got the Torah. What does eating have to do with getting the Torah? But it means that Torah is supposed to inform our physical lives. So on Shavuos, on Purim, and on Erev Yom Kippur, each one a celebration of a form of Kabbalah Satorah, we have to make a big celebration with food. Okay, that's what the Ramban says. Not like Rashi at all. Rashi says it was a mistake for them to eat at Har Sinai. It was chutzpahdik to eat at Har Sinai. The Ramban says, no, it's a beautiful way to celebrate receiving the Torah. Okay? So Chavis, we learned a lot of good stuff today. Should we chazer it over? Yeah. What do we learn? Number one, we learned that what? That Mishpatim is really a continuation of the Aseret HaDibros. Kol HaTorah Kula is dependent upon Mishpatim. Without Mishpatim, you can't move forward. Right, it's Hashem kind of doubling down on what He already taught us. And then we jumped and we learned that Hashem talked about Avodah Zarah all the time. Why? Because, not just to be repetitive, but because it's important to Hashem. So Hashem speaks about what's important to Him. And then we spoke about, why does it start with an Eved Ivri? Right? It starts with an Eved Ivri because Eved Ivri reminds us, first and foremost, about Yetzias Mitzrayim. He goes out after 7 years, reminds us about creation of the world. Again, the fundamentals of our faith, we chazer them over and over. And then we spoke about Hashem's sensitivity to Avadim and to Geirim, right, and to people who are downtrodden, who feel like they have no one to turn to other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we learned that what? That the way that a Jew eats, it's with greater refinement. My body should be allowed to eat anything to sustain it, but Hashem asks of us to go above and beyond, not just to avoid disgusting things, but to try to really develop a life of Kedusha. And then we learned that Hashem is the source, right? Serve Hashem and you'll have all the blessing that you possibly need. You don't need any back channels or secondary measures through Avodah Zarah to talk to the sun, the moon, the stars, the angels. You don't need any of that. The more you rely on Hashem, the more Hatzlacha and Shmira you'll have. And then last but not least, that when a Jew has an accomplishment in Torah, he should celebrate it in a gashmiistic way to show that he really loves Torah and how Torah informs his physical life. Okay? Yes.
After learning Torah and getting as close to the happiness kind of, or achieving that, you kind of have to remind yourself, like, listen, you're not an angel, you're a human, like, you shouldn't try to be in this world.
For sure. Absolutely. It's ironic that the Vart's from the Kotzker, because the Kotzker closeted himself away from the world. The last 20 years of his life, there was a machlokus between the Kotzker Rebbe and the Rebbe of Vorky about the pasuk at the beginning of next week's parsha. Vayikhu li truma. Right, take from me a portion. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, Vayikhu li truma. If you want to be dedicated to Hashem, you have to truma, you have to separate yourself. You have to almost withdraw from the world, which is how the Kotzker Rebbe lived. He was mamish hidden from the world the last 20 years of his life. And the Rebbe of Arki said, no, Vayikhu li truma, right, is to take from the world and to dafka elevate it. So, okay. Different tzaddikim. The tzaddikim were very in the world, tzaddikim were very removed from the world. No. Rishon Bar Yochai started off in the cave, but then he came out to the world. Some tzaddikim have different stages of their life. Yeah, Zachariah.